Well, this came from Reader's Digest. Uh-oh, yeah. A local charity had never received a donation from the town's banker, so the director made a phone call. Our records show you make $500,000 a year, yet you haven't given a penny to charity, the director began. Would you like to help our community? The banker replied, did your research show that my mother is ill with extremely expensive medical bills? No, mumbled the director. Or that my brother is blind and unemployed, or that my sister is a widow with four children and has no money? I had no idea. So, said the banker, if I don't give them any money, why would I give any to you? I'm sorry. That was bad. Okay. So the title of today's message is Freedom in Messiah in Diverse Places. For those who don't know, earlier this week, I was at a Freedom in Christ Ministries practicum in Syracuse, New York. To give a little background, Freedom in Christ Ministries, or FICM, has developed a strategy called Community Freedom Ministries, or CFMs, to help people get free from the bondage of sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. A CFM is a discipleship ministry within a congregation that provides an environment for individuals, marriages, families, and entire churches to experience a renewal of life, joy, growth, and fullness in Messiah. So FICM offers training courses to thoroughly train people about the principles of freedom, how to use their materials, and how to help others find freedom. When an individual has successfully completed the training and then attended a practicum, they can apply to become what they call a Community Freedom Ministry Associate, a CFMA. Late in 2012, I completed the training and attended a practicum in Asheville, North Carolina. And early in 2013, I had some meetings at the church I was attending at the time in Rochester, explaining the concept of a CFM. I was given permission to start one there. Two women and one man worked with me to start the program, and we began teaching the congregation about being free in Christ. We began helping people and taking them through freedom appointments and whatever we could do. During that time, while attending an Elam Fellowship meeting, I shared my involvement with FICM. And a woman who runs a jail ministry locally called New Beginnings for Women was there. She had been asked if she would be willing to start teaching her material to the men in Monroe Correctional Facility. She had a check in her spirit, and after she prayed about it and consulted her spiritual advisors, she declined. But she remembered what I was doing with FICM and recommended me to the counselors at Monroe Correctional Facility. I explained the ministry to them, I showed them some of the materials that we used to teach, and the counselor allowed me to bring the Freedom in Christ class into Monroe Correctional Facility as part of the rehab program there. Sometime later, I was asked if I'd be willing to teach Freedom in Christ to the women in the facility. I didn't have a check in the spirit, but I consulted my spiritual advisors, and they all agreed that it was okay. And so for several years, I taught men and women in Monroe Correctional Facility, again, as part of the rehab program, teaching a biblical class. In 2015, I met with Rabbi Jim about using FICM materials at Shema. And at that time, I found out that there was a need here at Shema that he thought I could fill. So I agreed to come to Shema. I showed him all of our materials. Freedom in Messiah was born, and it is a CFM recognized by Freedom in Christ Ministries. I would like to see the Freedom in Messiah teaching offered to many, many, many more people in the area. My vision is throughout Western New York. I'd like everybody to be able to hear the freedom message and to be able to become free in Messiah. And in addition to that, just to learn who the Lord is and to come to understand Yeshua HaMashiach and to reach their salvation. Unfortunately, I have only so much time to devote to the ministry. I'd like to see others in a position to be able to teach and help bring this freedom message to others. Now, while I was at the practicum, Dan Stute, the new president of FICM, said that his wife has made the term freedom in Christ into a verb. When Dan is talking to someone, she'll often say to someone around her, I wonder if Dan is freedom in Christing them. One of the other CFMAs said something like this: I shouldn't say it this way, but leading people to freedom is addicting. It's an addiction. I agree. I am thoroughly addicted. Would you be interested in freedom and messiahing people? Think about it. Pray about it. See, whether it's ministering with Freedom and Messiah, outreaches with Ava, or another one of the ministries, I want to discuss some of the points about outreach and about bringing the materials to the community that I taught at the FICM practicum. Some of the points are a little different, but this is essentially what I had, because I believe when we understand what can hinder us from ministry and we know what Yeshua requires of us, we can be fruitful ministers of the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen? So the first point, pray about where God would send you. Pray about where God would send you. Last week, Rabbi Jim talked about how the congregation Shema Yisrael is a fishing boat, and we are fishers of people, leading them into the kingdom of God. He explained there's many tasks on the fishing boat, and we see that many people are doing some of the tasks. That's a great thing. I see ministering freedom and Messiah as one of those tasks. And much of what I'm talking about today will be about freedom and Messiah ministry, but the principles will apply to other ministries, like evangelizing, having Bible studies, and so on. See, sometimes we don't have a clear idea of where to go fishing. Rabbi Jim mentioned several reasons why we don't go fishing. Sometimes we're fearful about going out and bringing the gospel to others. I say that's the influence of the God of this world over our minds, because why would we get choked up offering somebody forgiveness of sins and eternal life? Why would we be reluctant? Think about that for a minute. Guess who's behind those thoughts? We might fear people's reactions. We might fear losing time that we want to use elsewhere. Sometimes we have other things that just distract us from spreading the gospel. Sometimes we just plain don't want to go. God knows where he wants to send us, but we have to be ready to hear what he is saying. Prophet Isaiah found himself right smack dab in the throne room of God, and he had a chance to see activities there. The Bible tells us about it in Isaiah 6, starting at verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw Adonai sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Seraphim were standing above him. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. One called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is Adonai Tzevaot. The whole earth is full of his glory." Then the post of the door trembled at the voice of those who called, and the house was filled with smoke. Then I said, "Oy to me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I am dwelling among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, Adonai Tzevaot." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a glowing coal in his hands, which he had taken with the tong from the altar. He touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sins atoned for." Then I heard the voice of Adonai saying, "Whom should I send, and who will go for us?" So I said, "Hineni, send me." He said, "Here I am, send me," at Adonai's call. Are you ready and willing to go where God would send you, like Isaiah was? If you heard his voice today, are you ready and willing to do what he tells you? Well, you might be thinking, well, Isaiah was in God's throne room. Of course he heard what God was saying to him. How can I expect to hear him? Boy, I'm so glad you asked. Do you know that you can go directly into God's throne room? As believers in Messiah, we have a ticket to directly enter his throne room. Hebrews 4, verses 13 through 16 tell us, "No creature is hidden from him, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Therefore, since we have a great Kohen Gadol who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua ben Elohim, let us hold firmly to our confessed allegiance. For we do not have a Kohen Gadol who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all the same ways, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness, so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need. How can we draw near to the throne? With boldness. We don't have to crawl in like a worm or like we don't belong there. We don't have to sneak in. We can approach the throne of God with boldness because of the Ruach HaKodesh in us, because of the sacrifice of his son, because we are in Yeshua and Yeshua is in us. We can approach God's throne and ask him where he would have us go. Now, sometimes we're reluctant to ask God where he would have us go for fear that he'll send us somewhere we don't want to go. Perhaps you think God will definitely send you somewhere you don't want to go doing something you don't want to do, and so you don't bother asking. I've heard of people who actually try to outwit God, and they tell him, "Don't send me to Hawaii to do ministry on the beach every day." That doesn't work. He's not trying to send us where we don't want to go. Think about this for a moment. Did God make you? Does he know where you would best serve? See, he made you, and so he knows where to send you, and where he sends you is where you were made to go. If you go, you'll be doing what you were created for, and you will find fulfillment. Does that make sense? The second point. Pray about where you are going. When you hear where God wants you to go, don't stop praying there. Keep praying. Ask him for knowledge and wisdom about where you're going. Now, last week, Rabbi Jim said that God will equip us for the things that he places us in. Wherever he sends us to fish, he will equip us. Ask him to show how he has equipped you. Have you done that? God, where do you want me to go and how have you equipped me? It may be God will lead you into diverse places, places you're not familiar with, places that require a different vocabulary, dress, and so on. God sends us into diverse places, but keep in mind what Paul did when he went into the diverse places of the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 9, verses 19 through 23 tell us, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all so that I might win over more of them. To the Jewish people, I identified as a Jew so that I might win over the Jewish people. To those under Torah, I became like one under Torah, though not myself being under Torah, so that I might win over those under Torah. To those outside of Torah, though not being outside of God's Torah but in Messiah's Torah, so that I might win over those outside of Torah. To the weak I became weak, so that I might win over the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all means possible I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the good news, so that I might be a fellow partaker of it." That was Paul's opinion. I'll go be like them. Now, I taught this message at the Freedom in Christ Ministries Conference to the new CFMAs, talking about diverse places. And when they asked me to do it, they said, "Well, you go into the jail and you go into this messianic congregation." See, this is a diverse place to most people. Think about that for a moment. But when we go out in the community, that's a diverse place to us. When we go into other churches, when you're praying about where God will send you or where you're going, don't do it alone. Ask others to pray with you and for you. If you're really serious about finding out what God wants you to do, you'll do that. Even the emissary Paul did this. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 4, he tells us, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, keep praying for us as well, that God may open up to us a door for the message to proclaim the mystery of Messiah, for which I am in prison. Pray that I may make the mystery clear as I ought to speak." Paul wanted others to pray for him so that he could go where God was sending him and do what God equipped him to do. So I'm expecting a whole lot of people maybe will come forward for prayer after the service to help find out how God's equipped you and where you're being sent. The third point I want to make is be clear about what you are teaching and doing. Wherever God is sending us, it's important that we do not misrepresent what we are doing. God is in control, and if he wants Freedom in Messiah or some other ministry of Shema Israel to be included somewhere, he will make sure it's included. You don't ever want to cause the credibility of the ministry to be questioned because the authorities who are allowing you to minister have a false impression of what you're doing. In the case of Freedom in Messiah ministry, we make sure that we explain this is a Bible-based ministry, and we present it as such. It relies on the authority of scriptures, and it conforms to evangelical belief. That was okay to go into the rehab program in Monroe Correctional Facility. In secular areas, we describe the issues that Freedom in Messiah materials and training can help people resolve. For instance, I will say, Freedom in Messiah is a biblical approach to finding and resolving personal and spiritual conflicts that lead to issues like anxiety, depression, irrational fears, addiction, lack of self-control, intrusive thoughts, eating disorders, hearing voices, and many other problems. Isn't that what it does? If people who are responsible for allowing us to minister are believers, we can give them more information about the process. But if they're not believers, we don't try to give more information than they're able to understand. As a matter of fact, 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 through 14 say, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, so we might come to know the things freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Ruach, explaining the spiritual to the spiritual. Now, a natural man does not accept the things of the Ruach Elohim, the Holy Spirit, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned." See, when I go into the jail and I'm talking to them about what I want to teach, if I tell them I'm trying to get everybody filled with the Holy Spirit and covered with the blood, they might not let me back out of there. Things that the world doesn't understand. But I do tell them it is biblically based, that it relies on the authority of the Bible. So I'm not deceiving in any way, but I'm giving them enough information that they can use to make a judgment. When I go into a place with believers, I explain the true nature of Freedom in Messiah in more detail. Again, Freedom in Messiah is a community freedom ministry that provides an environment for individuals, marriages, families, entire churches to experience a renewal of life, joy, growth, and fullness. If you decide to be part of the Freedom in Messiah ministry and you have the training, you'll be ready to explain the difference between a truth encounter and a power encounter. No, I don't by power cast out demons. We believe that through the authority given to us by the Ruach HaKodesh through Jesus Christ, through Yeshua HaMashiach, we can have authority in the spiritual realm, and we don't need to have power encounters. We explain the materials filled with biblical references to back up what we're teaching and doing. You can look it up yourself. And that Freedom in Messiah is not just for struggling believers, but it's useful for all believers to know his or her position, identity, and authority and find freedom in Messiah. I urge anyone that hasn't studied it yet to take the classes or to read the books. And if you're interested, please see me. If you're planning on having a Bible study or being part of another ministry, make sure you are not at all deceptive about what you're trying to do. Don't go in and say, "Well, we're having this class to teach people things, and then it's based on the Bible." And then you get caught and somebody says, "I didn't know that's what you were doing." Be straightforward. Freedom in Messiah has some posters. There's a slide that I have for it. It's for people who are not familiar with messianic terminology. We have to be ready to go in those places too. And so you'll see some of the posters are messianic in nature and some of them are more geared for the community. They say similar things, and in each case, they give enough information for anyone who wants to come to the class or authorize the classes to know what it's all about, to know that it is biblical in nature. The next point, take advantage of your position and authority in Messiah. Before going into an area where you're proposing or you're presenting freedom in Messiah, pray for the wisdom and guidance of the Holy Spirit and ask God to send his Holy Spirit ahead of you to prepare hearts and minds to receive what you're saying. Use your authority in Yeshua to bind spiritual forces that may be in opposition to what you are doing, and ask God to bring the people who need to hear the freedom message from you. Make it a habit of doing those things as you're going into there to either present the materials or to propose them. Often, when I've gone into Monroe Correctional Facility, I get to wait in a classroom to see how many inmates are coming to the class. And I've found myself praying using scripture. Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 9, says, and I'll say this right to God, if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart it is believed for righteousness, and with the mouth it is confessed for salvation. For the scripture says, whoever trusts in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, richly generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls upon the name of Adonai shall be saved. How then shall they call on the one whom they have not trusted? And how shall they trust in the one of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone preaching? And how shall they proclaim unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who proclaim the good news of good things. But not all have heeded the good news, for Isaiah says, Adonai, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Messiah. And then I add a prayer to the end. How will they be able to get faith unless they can come to hear your word? Please make a way for them to come and hear what you want me to say for them. Take the time. If few people show up, does that mean God didn't hear? Or does that mean God's sending the people that he wants to see you? Let me ask, do you have beautiful feet? Don't take off your shoes and look now. Do you want to have beautiful feet? Paul is telling us that comes from sharing the good news. It has nothing to do with the looks. The next point I want to make is be prepared to be tested. Some of the testing will come before you even get out of bed in the morning. I want to tell you, if the devil can control your thoughts, he can control your actions. The devil can get you thinking about how many things you have to do. The devil can make you feel like not going where God is trying to send you. You may have a feeling of dread that comes over you, and it becomes difficult to force yourself to go. I have it often. Some people don't come to Shabbat services for that very reason. Some people avoid fellowshipping with people because they just don't want to. I have this feeling. If the devil put the feeling there, that's a problem. See, the devil doesn't want you to go. And if he keeps you from going because he made you feel like you don't want to go, then who's really in control of you? If you do something because you want to do something, because the devil made you think you want to do it, the devil's in control of you. But if you do something because you want to do something because the Holy Spirit made you think you want to do it, the Holy Spirit is in control of you. We have a choice in who we let control us. Your feelings aren't necessarily accurate. We choose who we will serve by who we respond to. The one that we respond to is the one that gains more authority in our life. See, I'm still learning when the devil's trying to keep me from ministering, but I've found that the most fruitful times are often when he's trying to keep me from going somewhere. For example, the week before last on Tuesday, I was trying really hard to get things done I needed to get done before winter. I've had a lot of frustrations this summer. It seems like every time I try to do something, it's raining or there's something else that happens. Something's always preventing me, and to say that this summer's been a summer of frustration would be putting it mildly. But after getting some things done on the outside, I finally decided to work on cutting up and dehydrating some fruits and vegetables that I have before they rotted. I also decided to try to descale my coffee maker. Now, I know this isn't very interesting, but bear with me a little. Instead of the cleaning solution cleaning the coffee maker, it managed to plug it up completely so that no water would pass through it. So I kept working on it and the fruits and vegetables, giving it time to soak back and forth. I found myself trying to do two things in the time available for one thing, and one of the things was taking enough time for three things. I was frustrated, and I finally went to bed around midnight. Knowing I didn't get all the vegetables cut up and my coffee pot wasn't going to work in the morning. When the alarm went off at 6 a.m., I really, really, really didn't want to get out of bed. I laid in bed for about a half hour and I finally got up for the day. Now, on Wednesday mornings, I have been going to Monroe County Jail to volunteer for Good News Jail and Prison Ministry. And I've been teaching Freedom and Messiah to a few of the men who are interested. The chaplain there allows us to use our materials. I began to think about how tired I was and how I still had things to do and the rest of the vegetables to cut up and all the outdoor things, and I felt a spirit of dread about going to the jail. I didn't want to go, and I thought I could just stay home. I almost talked myself into staying home, but then I started to recognize the voice behind that spirit of dread and behind the self-talk that was trying to keep me home. And I said, "Nice try, Mr. Devil. I'm going to the jail anyway. There's something important for me." I packed up to go to jail. I dragged myself out of the house and drove downtown, still feeling like I didn't want to go and that I really ought to stay home and do things, and thought, well, maybe it'll be a waste of time. But somehow I didn't trust the feelings and the thoughts. They were coming from the enemy. Now, there's two areas in the jail where I've been ministering, separated by a hallway. One of the areas is for military veterans who have been incarcerated. The other is primarily for longer-term inmates. Both units have cells around the perimeter with a big open area in the middle and a lot of tables. I wanted to go into the non-military area first because there were a couple of men I had been ministering to who were expecting me. But there was something going on that prevented me from going in there. Great, more frustration. So I went into the veterans area. I set my things on the table and tried to talk to a few people. No one was interested in talking. I thought, maybe I should have just stayed home. Then one of the men waved to me from a distance to get my attention and asked if I could wait for him. I had spoken with him briefly before, and I said I'd wait. He came over, and we began discussing some issues he has, spiritual bondage. Started talking about how to be free and what was holding him in bondage. And I noticed another man sitting at the next table appeared to be interested in what I was saying. He kind of had this little lean over listening. I asked him if he wanted to join the conversation, and he agreed. I ended up spending over an hour talking to two men about the issues that were keeping them in bondage, and they were hanging on every word I was saying. I had the opportunity to pray with them and for them, and it seemed like God was somehow speaking into their hearts using my mouth. It was really cool, I gotta tell you. Now, I usually leave the area between 11 and 11:15. That's around when the lunch trays arrive. And I try to get to our staff prayer meeting at 11:30 at the office, and it was now 10:45. I thought about not going to the other area because I wouldn't have much time to minister there anyway. As I went into the hall, I saw the lunch trays sitting there ready to be passed out, and a thought that sounded similar to my own voice said something like, I might as well just leave now. There's no sense going in the other area. I'm only going to have 15 or 20 minutes. Besides, the lunch trays are in the hallway, and I'll have to leave when they start distributing them. That'll be any minute. And I can get to the office early for the prayer meeting instead of getting there late like I usually do. Sounded good. But there was something a bit counterfeit, I thought, to that voice, even though it sounded kind of like me, and I decided to ignore it. I went into the other area, and when I walked in, an inmate in a wheelchair greeted me, and we began to talk. He needed to hear from the Lord. And he invited me to a table where there'd be a bit more privacy, where we could hear each other better. Before I knew it, we were joined by four other men, all of whom were believers caught in spiritual bondage. And they needed to hear the word of the Lord, and they needed to hear solutions to the problems that they had. They needed to hear that God loves them, and that they're not pieces of trash, but they are valuable creations of God. Again, I'm in a position. They're all hanging on every word that I'm saying. I wanted to say, and yabba dabba do, blah, 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 and see if that would work. See if God would speak those words to them. I didn't. But again, the conversation seemed to transcend something of the physical world. I had a feeling like I could almost stop thinking and my mouth would keep going and they would have it. After about 20 minutes, I prayed with them and for them and I left. I can tell you this, as I was leaving, they all seemed to be a lot more peaceful and encouraged than when I arrived. Now, maybe that's my imagination, or maybe they heard words from God and the devil didn't want me to tell them those things. We all get a chance to decide for ourselves what happened. I realized if I had listened to the devil, I would not have had the wonderful opportunities to be used by God to help bring light into a dark place. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? Bring light into a dark place. So think about it. When you have a thought about going into a dark place to bring light, and then you get another thought about not going into that dark place to bring light, who's behind which thought? Is it likely that God is telling you go bring light and the devil's telling you not to? And who gets more authority in my life when I listen? See, the thoughts that try to keep us going where God wants to, there's some other issues besides that in the spiritual realm. I find, especially in non-Christian arenas, there's sometimes people who want to challenge what I'm teaching or start a discussion about some particular biblical doctrine. Some people will come up, want to show off. They'll say they're saved and they seem to believe in a different God and Lord than I do. Sometimes they just want to show off what they know or they just want to put me down. Very often, someone will try to discuss where Cain got his wife, whether there was really a global flood, what kind of fish swallowed Jonah, what was the color of Yeshua's skin, how the church covered up atrocities, Yeshua didn't really die on the cross, and on and on and on. You've probably heard most of them. And it usually happens when I first go into an area, but it'll sometimes happen after that. I've grown to the point when I start a ministry in a new place, I expect somebody is going to come up and test me. I don't want to fail the test. See, the enemy knows what we're doing there, and he knows what we're teaching. He might know the scripture better than us. Keep in mind who our fight is with. Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." These people are being influenced and coming in challenge. They're not where the battle is. Be mindful, though, of how we are to be. Paul told Timothy this, 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. "The Lord's slave," that's what we are, isn't it? Some versions say bondservant. "The Lord's slave must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, tolerant. Let him give guidance with humility to those who are in oppression. Perhaps God may grant them a change of mind leading to the knowledge of truth. Then they may regain their senses and escape the devil's snare in which they had been held captive by him to do his will." The change of mind is repentance. God grants repentance. This is the way we have to be if we expect that people are going to be able to escape the snare of the devil. That's the attitude we have to have. But remember what precedes this verse. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. "Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they produce quarrels." We don't have to dispute with people that want to bring up odd doctrine or challenge things. When you're in a ministry like Freedom and Messiah there, take the time, first of all, to study some apologetics so you can answer some of the common challenges that are put forth. But don't be afraid to say, "I don't know, but I'll try to find an answer." Try to answer questions and objections gently without arguing, but limit the time you will engage in the discussion. Be ready to say, maybe we can discuss this later, but right now I have to move on with what I'm teaching. It's not being rude. You are the one that has been invited in there to teach. You set the agenda, and don't let somebody snatch it out from under you. Some people will try to tie you up for as long as they can, depriving others from hearing what you were sent there to say. The sad thing is, many of these folks don't even know that they're in bondage with what they're doing. Try to discern what the Ruach HaKodesh is saying to you. There's people who do not want to know anything about God, and the devil will try to use them to keep the light from getting to somebody else. I've had some believers in, number six, be flexible, but don't compromise the message. I've had some believers in jail comment with amazement about how this is a bold Christian class that proclaims the gospel of Messiah Yeshua. I've had others who were put off by the biblical nature. But since the group has already clearly been presented as a biblical group, I haven't had any problems. Some of the people stay for the group, some leave. That's their choice. I encourage people to stay and listen to what's being taught because they might find some things that will help them, and we all know they might just end up getting eternal life. Some people who attend the classes are not true believers. Some have attended church. Many have a variety of opinions and understandings about the Bible and Christianity. When discussing things like who we are in Messiah, if you don't know, please see me. We have a list that's great to understand who we really are. I make it clear that the statements apply to them only when they have chosen to make Yeshua the Lord of their lives. And if they would like to have this new identity in Messiah, they can simply receive Yeshua as Lord and Savior and turn to God. They can repent. They can confess their sins. When you go out, be ready to lead people to the Lord at any time. You never know when it's going to be presented. In jail, the time allowed for sessions and the people attending the sessions can change around a lot. Sometimes I can't get in right away because there's a lockdown. Sometimes they stop it early. Sometimes the people are detained and can't get to the class. Additionally, some people only attend one or two sessions, and I seek the Lord about how to handle this. See, in Freedom in Messiah, we start off with an introduction and then learn who I am in Messiah, and the rest of the classes are based on that knowledge and that understanding. When I'm teaching Freedom in Messiah at Monroe Correctional Facility, at first I wanted to limit the people attending later sessions, especially the steps to those who had attended the introductory class and the first class that discusses who they are, their real nature. But at one of the classes, a man who had not attended any previous classes came in at session number 9, forgiving from the heart. My first impulse was to ask him to leave, explaining the class was in its 9th session, required a lot of understanding of what was taught in the earlier session. But I listened a little, and I thought I heard the Holy Spirit tell me to let him stay. Guess what? Turns out forgiveness was the issue he needed to hear about. That was what he was in bondage with. That was the thing that put him in jail. God had sent him to this class. I decided I wouldn't deny anybody who came to the class, no matter where we were in any session. We'll do our best with it. I've had people who have had a problem with pride come only to the session that deals with pride. I've had people who struggle with recurring sin come only to the session that deals with the sin-confess cycle. I've had people who struggle with wrong thinking come only to the session that deals with renewing the mind. Sometimes I briefly explain to people who first come in a later session some of what they missed, or give a brief explanation and introduction to spiritual bondage and tell them what it means to be free in Messiah. I offer to fill them in at another time if I can. Try to make time to get back to the people. Sometimes, if you're familiar with what the steps are, if not, come and see me. The steps require 2, 3, or even 4 sessions to complete. Ideally, we like to do it in one setting. We don't like to open something up and then make sure that it isn't dealt with. But I'm limited to time that the jail has for me. More than once, I've had the experience of someone coming to class during the steps who just happened to need one of those steps the most. It's amazing how God works that out. It's not uncommon for the class to be interrupted by somebody who needs to discuss some issues in their life. After all, I'm in jail. Hello, I think people have a few issues. If the schedule is flexible, like it is in the jail, and time for the sessions is variable, I try to address the needs of the individuals who God has sent to the class, even if it means I don't finish a session and I have to continue it the next week. Ask the group if it's okay. I often find that there's many other people struggling with exactly the same need, and so it's not just one person that we're helping, it's many that need that. If the schedule is fixed and has a time set for the steps like we do here at classes, well, we try to stay on track, but we can acknowledge their needs, we can empathize with them, and then offer to meet with them after class or at another time. It's important to seek the Lord's wisdom in this. When ministering to diverse groups, take time to learn about the people to whom you are ministering. I had to do that when I came here. Nothing wrong with that. We get to know our brothers and sisters. For example, here at Congregation Shema Yisrael, in case you didn't know, our primary purpose is to reach Jewish people with the gospel so they'll be ready to welcome Yeshua when he returns by saying, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Although most of the people at Shema don't have a problem with someone saying Jesus Christ, we usually say Yeshua HaMashiach, or Yeshua the Messiah, or Messiah Yeshua, so we don't accidentally offend a Jewish person who is new to the faith or has come in for the first time. Being sensitive to the cultural nuances is important. Most of us understand this, and I would encourage you that if you have any questions, go to the Messianic Judaism classes because they will fill you in deeper. However, when someone from a local church comes in praising Jesus Christ, we also need to be mindful of his or her beliefs and be somewhat tolerant of our brothers and sisters. That's the nature of ministering in diverse places. Much of the material we use is biblically solid, but it's not messianic in nature, and so we try to accommodate people, again, without compromising the message. The next point is, don't be discouraged. Do be faithful. I spoke earlier about interference that the devil can give us and how he can make us think or feel like we should not be going somewhere. Well, guess what? The people we're trying to reach may also be experiencing interference. That's why it's important to pray beforehand and try to bind any spiritual forces. Pray for the devil's interference to be broken in those that God is using you to reach. Ask others to pray with you also. See, the Lord may send you 100 people, or he may send you 2, or 1, or even none. I've had that. In the classroom, waiting for people to come, and nobody comes. Believe that God is doing what he wants with you, and he is reaching who he wants to reach through you. The devil wants me to say, nobody came, big waste of time. The devil is happy to tell you how small your impact is when there's not as many people attending classes as you would like to have, or there does not appear to be as many people getting free as you would like to see. Don't listen to him. It's easy to think your ministry is a failure when there's not as many people as you would like to have coming. Remember, Yeshua will not be saying, well done, good and successful servant. He'll be saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Success has nothing to do with numbers, except here on earth. Keep seeking the Lord until he tells you clearly to stop ministering in that area. Keep doing it regardless of how much fruit you seem to harvest or how much interference you have. See, according to the world, Yeshua's ministry looked like a total failure when he was on the cross, didn't it? Think about it. He had 12 main followers. One of them betrayed him. The others ran away. And only one was left at the foot of the cross. You may be planting, you may be watering, or you may be taking part in the harvest. Be faithful regardless of what you think you see. Continue doing what you believe God sent you to do, and keep asking him to make sure you understand what he's sending you for. Remember, thank you. We are participating in the work of Messiah Yeshua, leading people to him so they can be free. Isaiah 61 verse 1 tells us, "The Spirit of Adonai Elohim is on me because Adonai has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound." This is Yeshua's ministry on earth, and in Messiah, we have a part in that ministry. Be open to constructive criticism. Give people an opportunity to fill out evaluations of the classes and sessions. Ask trusted brothers and sisters for tips to improve what you're doing. Work with the Ruach HaKodesh to incorporate what God wants you to use in the ministry. God knows what he's doing. Some people don't think he does. I believe he does. And he knows what you are doing. And the final point I want to make is, remember who is responsible for what. You are not responsible for what other people choose to think or believe. They are. You are not responsible for convicting people. The Holy Spirit is. You are not responsible for other people accepting God's free gift of salvation. That's between them and God. You are responsible for telling them the truth about God and about being free in Messiah. So, have you taken time to ask God where he would have you go? And what he would have you do on this fishing boat that we call Shema Yisrael. We are all part of the body of Messiah, and the whole body suffers when we're not doing what God intends for us to do. He gives us gifts for the purpose of bringing light into a dark world. So let's take some time right now just to ask God what he would have us do, and then commit to step out in faith to whatever he's telling us. So, Father, please tell us where you want to send us. Tell us what part of the body of Messiah you have made us to be. Tell us clearly the things you would have us do. Dad, tell us how we should pray as we begin to do the things you have prepared for us so we can accomplish your purposes here on earth. Daddy, help us to be able to clearly explain what you've called us to do and to take advantage of the marvelous position and authority that you've given us in Messiah. Dad, we understand we'll be tested. Please prepare us for the tests and help us to have the mind of Messiah when we are tested. Create in us hearts to see those we are reaching as you see them and to see the opposition as you see the opposition. Daddy, please make us flexible, but keep us from compromising the wonderful gospel that you have entrusted to us. Give us beautiful feet to bring that gospel and that good news to others. And finally, meet us if we start to be discouraged. Help us to be faithful to the calling you have entrusted, and remind us who is in charge. Just be with us and build this ministry. Keep in mind that this is your ministry. And we are serving you in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Lord, our Savior, our all in all. Amen. Amen. Thank you.